Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here on this final Sunday of November, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a wonderful week. We have a Thanksgiving service tonight, November 24th. If you are able to come out, it'll be at 7 o'clock downstairs in our fellowship hall. We're going to have some dessert and coffee. We're going to have three different people sharing some things they're thankful for and testimonies. We're going to have the quartet singing. We're going to just have communion together. It's going to be a beautiful evening. We do it every year, the Sunday night before Thanksgiving. So come on out tonight if you are able. Beginning next Sunday, December 1st, we will have the church all decorated in here for Christmas and the Advent season, the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And we're going to be focusing on the birth of Jesus over the next 4 weeks there, and have a lot of different opportunities to be involved in things, different special services, caroling, and giving opportunities. In fact, there's a giving tree in the back of our church now, and on it has a number of different little ornaments. This is for different foster families, kids that are in our community. And you can take one of those, go out and buy the item, wrap it, and put this ornament on it so that we know what's inside. But like, for example, this one says, a girl 9 years old, and it's got some items here of underwear and socks, Minecraft books, joke book, and just other kind of chapter books. She's a reader, obviously. And so if you can pick up one of these, go out and buy that gift, wrap it, and bring it back. We'll have a few weeks where we'll collect these. We'll also be having stockings that the quilters have made that you fill with particular gifts for our long-term health care facility, Mulberry Waverly Care Center, in Waverly there for people who are sick and those who are elderly. We're going to fill stockings up for them and then go caroling one night during the Christmas season and hand them the stockings. So there's going to be opportunities to give and attend things. And we also will have an Advent devotional book. And so it is a little daily reflection written by someone from this church on a particular scripture for each day leading from December 1 to December 24th. And I always love it every year because it's different people from our church, their thoughts and perspectives and heart laid out each day to keep us focused on Jesus during the Christmas season. So we'll have those devotional books also available for you starting next Sunday too. So I hope you can join us for the different programs and services throughout the Christmas season. That's all coming up here. Today, I wanted to speak about thankfulness because it is Thanksgiving week. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to open by reading Psalm 100 for you. Psalm 100. And it is a psalm of giving thanks. All right. And so it says this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all of the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And so enter His gates with thanksgiving in your hearts, and His courts, enter them with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, because the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Let me ask you a question today. Are you able to be thankful today? Right now, in your life as it is, are you able to be a person with gladness? Even if not everything in your life right now is glad, Is the, you know, perhaps cloud of worries in your life and troubles so thick that you've had a tough time seeing the good that God is also providing for you in this time? Are you able to still see the truth of who God is, and that He made you and you are His, and that everything that you're worried about is not just on your shoulders? He's got it. This world and its troubles, your own fears, your own failures. Are you able in this moment, in this day, to stop and remember and be thankful? For the Lord is good, and His love endures, and His faithfulness to you and me means life for us, and hope, and even peace in this time, and ability to even have joy even in this moment, because God is a part of this day and your life. To be thankful is to be grateful, and to be grateful is to know God and that He is with you. It means to acknowledge, whether you are currently on a mountain or in a valley, that God is our Father. He knows what we need before we even ask. He is our Savior. He is our Shepherd. He is the giver of all the good things in our life. To be faithful is not to ignore the troubles or the sorrows, but to still be able to appreciate the people in our life and the many ways God has provided for us in it. His goodness and faithfulness to us in all of our years. In 1789, we have the first proclamation by our first president calling for a day of thanksgiving. It was George Washington, and he wrote, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God and to obey His will and to be grateful for His benefits and humbly implore His protection and favor." He said, "Both houses of Congress have requested of me to recommend a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many favors of Almighty God." I don't know, but I find that so inspiring. The words of public thanksgiving and prayer, that our Thanksgiving Day began as a recommendation from our government at that time to acknowledge God Almighty as the source of all our blessings, and to not just give thanks, but also to pray for His will and continued favor. Isn't that inspiring? 74 years later, during a difficult time of civil war, when our country looked as though it was going to break apart, Abraham Lincoln reinforced that vision. He declared the last Thursday of November to be the annual day of Thanksgiving. So now it would be on the calendar every year. And when he did that, he also wrote something that again, I think, inspires and reminds us that the Lord is the source of every good thing that we get. He said this. He said, "As this year is drawing to an end, a year which has been filled with fruitful fields and healthful skies, to these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come from, the ever watchful providence of Almighty God." He goes on to say, "In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude, the Lord has helped us maintain our laws. He has protected us from invasion from other nations." And then Lincoln just starts listing all the good things that we maybe overlook, but that God has given even in the difficult time. Even in the difficult times, we can see the goodness of God if we want to see it. Lincoln then ended the address with these words, "No mortal hand has worked out all these things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our many sins, have nevertheless remembered mercy. When we are under the discipline of God, He is still gracious to us. And so Lincoln declared the last Thursday of November to be an annual day of thanksgiving and prayer. And then he ended his proclamation by reminding all of us to look after our widows and our orphans and the poor and those who mourn. It was to be a day where we were thankful, even in the middle of a civil war, a day to still praise God, as well as to look after people who may be less fortunate. And I see this same thing true in the Bible, with gratefulness always seems to go hand in hand with compassion and mercy and generosity. For when a person sees the mercy and the abundance and the goodness of God in their life, they are often motivated to go out and do good to other people, to love as they have been loved. Being thankful is actually very important to our life in Christ. The Bible says we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Why? Well, for starters, our salvation was not earned or deserved, but it was a gracious gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Salvation, just like our everyday, is all a gift to us from a loving and good God. And we can miss that if we're not careful. And maybe we miss it because, as those who have gone before us have said, that we are prone to forget the source of all the good in our life. Maybe we think it was us who brought it about, and instead of just a gracious gift from God. Maybe we forget because we're prone to focus on all the bad things in our life going on. They take dominance. You know, the griefs, the sorrows, the worries, they consume our minds, that the good stuff of today, the grace for today, is hidden in the back of our mind, and we can't see it. We're not focused on it. We're focused on the other stuff. And so we can't see who's carrying us right now every day, or providing for us that friend at just a moment we needed them, or that help or that comfort. And so we worry more than we worship, and we covet more than we're content, and we forget the One who has delivered us and goes with us and is able to take care of tomorrow just like He took care of today. And so maybe thankfulness is so important in our walk with Christ, because without it, we lose touch with God, and we begin to demand certain things rather than receive things, surprised each day by joy. Joy that doesn't come from us pursuing what we want, but joy that comes from us recognizing what we already have from Him. I heard a quote recently that has got me thinking, and you maybe have heard it before, but someone said, "The hard work that you complain about at your job is the dream of every unemployed person. Your restless and difficult child is the dream of anyone who doesn't have kids but would love them. Your small home that sure has problems is the dream of every homeless person. Your not enough money is the dream of everyone who has less or none. Your poor health is the dream of every patient with an incurable disease. Your peace and peaceful sleep tonight and access to food and water is the dream of everyone in a country of war or famine. Learn to recognize and be thankful for what you already have." I took some time to look up Bible verses that had to do with thankfulness. I first went to Philippians 4:4, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." What jumped out at me in that verse was, don't be anxious, but with prayer and thanksgiving, go to God. That "and thanksgiving" part jumped out at me this time, because too often in worry or want, my prayers can skip the thanksgivings and go straight to the next thing I want God to do for me or give me, instead of first recognizing all that He has already provided for me for this hour. Thanksgiving is the pause to acknowledge all the good gifts that God has already given you in your life. The next verse I turned to was 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, where it says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And it would jump out at me there is, it's God's will for you that in all circumstances you would remember Him and notice the things that He's done. Even just the breath you were able to take, the ability to see the sun rise on another day with family, and opportunities that He gives you to live for Him today. No matter what troubles you also might have in this moment, you can find reason to give thanks and need to, or you will fall into despair and doubt and disappointment and discouragement and let that lead your life rather than faith and gratitude and grace. The next verse I went to and found was Colossians 2:6-7, where it says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving." Overflowing, it says, with thanksgiving. In Christ, we don't just squeak by. We have a cup that runneth over if we would really look at it. He is able to do more than all we think or imagine. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. For He leads me, He guides me, He provides all I need for the day. My cup overflows." It says, "Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Do you believe this? Are you able to see this in your own life? I also read Romans 5, of how we are to be thankful even in our sufferings. I read Colossians 3:17, where it says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." I read in John 6 how Jesus was thankful for what He had, not complaining that it was too little, but appreciating the gift of 2 fish and 5 loaves that He received from that boy to feed the 5,000. There are so many verses you can find in the Bible where He is calling us to be a people who are thankful, who see what others may fail to see. Everything that we already have from His gracious hand. But there are two scriptures in particular that really spoke to me this week that I wanted to read for you and share just a couple brief thoughts about. Two scriptures that helped me think a little better about thanksgiving. The first is Lamentations 3:19-26. It's probably familiar to you. But it's Jeremiah the prophet, and he writes these words from Lamentations 3:19-26. It says, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And yet this I call to mind, and I have hope, because of the Lord's great love were not consumed, for his compassions will never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. For the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good for us to wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. This scripture has a lot of good points to it. It is written by Jeremiah in a time of great pain and loss for him and God's people. They had turned away from God, and now their land was being taken over by the Babylonians. Their homes were being destroyed. Their people were being scattered. All that God had given them, they had blown because of their own sinful choices, and now they were headed into exile, and they didn't know for how long they would be there or what the future held for them. And so the book of Lamentations is a lament. It is a cry. It is a despair. But right in the middle of that, just like right in the middle of our tears and regrets and struggles, just like right in the middle of a civil war for Abraham Lincoln, when things were not great, similarly, Jeremiah, right in the middle, finds reasons to be thankful still, even in the dark times. He says, yet this I call to mind and find hope within. Because of the Lord's great love, we will not be consumed. What stands out for me in this scripture is how Jeremiah does not ignore his sorrows or sufferings. He does not deny his failures or his sins. Thankfulness is not a denial of pain and sorrow, but an acknowledging of God and the good things within them. For it says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. And I had to look up that word gall. I learned it referred to a bitter tasting plant. The other time it is used in scripture is of the cup that Jesus was given to drink on the cross. It was wine mixed with gall, a bitterness. The prophet is saying, I remember my afflictions and wandering, the bitterness of this life and the gall, the cup of suffering. He says, I well remember them. My sin is always before me. Now I have to live with the consequences of the actions of our people. We are living in that, he's saying. We're leaving our promised land. This is a really tough time. He says, my soul is downcast within me. Jeremiah is depressed as he's writing this. He is troubled and saddened and not exactly sure what the future holds. It is a really tough time. But in it, he says, yet. And yet means that it is hard. I wish that we weren't going through what we're going through. Yet, this is not the end of my story. Yet, God is still bigger than what's happening to me right now. Yet, his love remains with me. Yet, God is not done with my people. His mercy is going to be there tomorrow as it has always been. Yet means I still got some hope. This dark hour is not our final hour. This night will one day turn to day again. This depression I'm in, this suffering, this affliction, this sin I've committed, yes, it's real. It's part of my story for sure, but it's not the only part of my story. And certainly that's not the end of my story. Thanks be to God, because he holds my life and my people in his hands. And he is still God above and still with us down here. And his plans and purposes will never fail. Tomorrow we will see what God can do. His mercy's new every morning. His faithfulness has been and will always be. So Jeremiah says, I'm going to wait for him. I'm going to trust in him right now, the salvation of the Lord. And this speaks, and I pray that you would let it speak over you. Where have it been that you've screwed up and wondered if you've ruined your life for good? You haven't. Where you maybe have turned away from God a while and wondered whether or not he's going to take you back, he will. Where have you had horrible things happen to you, or you've had to go through grief and hardship and loss, things you didn't plan for? This scripture means you still got hope. It's saying that the current whatever is not the end. This painful reality that you've had to go through that maybe has changed you, it is not the most important thing about you, and it doesn't capture all of who you are or what your life is about or that you belong always and forever to him. The pain is part of my story, but not the end of my story, not even the most important piece. This sin, now in Christ, no longer defines me, but instead his love and salvation do, because God is not finished with me yet. I love how the Gospel of John opens. It opens with how the Lord is my light and my life, and how the light shone into the darkness and the darkness could not overcome it. With Christ in us, we too can say like Jeremiah, yet to whatever it is that we're going through, yet this I call to mind and I still have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, I am not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Psalm 103 verse 4 says, he redeemed my life from the pit and he crowns me with love and compassion. And so just like Jeremiah, we might not know exactly when or how God is going to turn all this around, but we know that he will. He is our salvation. That is why Jeremiah says, the Lord is my portion. I will wait for him. Whatever he gives, whatever he wills, the Lord is good to those who put their hope in him. To the one who seeks him, it says, to the good, it is good to wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. And so I wanted to read that verse for us when we think about Thanksgiving. Because this thought came to me this week, and maybe you're going to think that this sounds foolish or simple, but for those who are struggling to find joy or thanksgiving this year and are being overcome by grief or sin or regret or the bad or tough things in your life right now, my encouragement is don't be consumed. Don't let it get you too down. Maybe the thing in your life is really tough. Maybe it is very big. Maybe I don't understand. Maybe you have cancer or lost a spouse or battling an addiction, and maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, it is a 10. The hardest thing you've ever had to go through. But even still, this is what came to me. Don't deny it. Don't try to dismiss it or think that you've got to, you know, either be consumed by it or that you've to find thankfulness, you've got to somehow just dismiss that. And no, what Jeremiah does here is he acknowledges it. He speaks it. Jeremiah says, I remember my affliction, my bitterness, and my sorrow. My soul is depressed over what's happening right now. Jeremiah didn't deny the sadness. He laments it. But in it, he also declares his hope and reasons for thanksgiving. So here's the thing that I would suggest. Write your sadness down on a piece of paper. Write down your troubles. Put them down. Acknowledge the pain and the hurt. But then right beside it, write down on that paper also all the good things that God has given you right now. Be true to both. Write down his good gifts today and then weigh them like a scale. And I know that sounds crazy, but if that bad thing in your life that's going on is a 10, and maybe you've got other regrets and other trials and loss too, put it all down, all your sadness, and then add it up. Maybe one is a 10, another is a 9, another a 6 in the scale of pain and worry that it brings into your life. Fine. But then on the other side of the paper, count your blessings. And maybe at the top of the list of the blessings that you have is your salvation in Christ and his love for you and forgiveness for all of your sins and the truth that he is with you today and you are eternally safe with him. That's pretty great. I'd say that was a 10. And then maybe another blessing is that his spirit lives with you and promises to help you and his word is there to guide you. Those are pretty great blessings. Put those down. And maybe another is that you've got one really good friend and you were able to talk with them recently. Or maybe another blessing is family. That's nice to have. And maybe another is that you got a home. It's pretty great to have a home. And maybe another is that you had a nice meal this week, maybe more than even one, and your stomach is not hungry. Maybe it's that you got a job or that you got a pretty awesome church family. Maybe that's a 7 on the scale. Maybe you got a dog. That can be positive. Maybe you got a cat. That can be a negative. But just keep listing all of your blessings on that paper too. Don't deny the tough stuff, But just hold it next to the goodness of God, the faithfulness, love, salvation, and provision of God. And then put a number by each of those good things too, just like you did for the tough things. And then at the bottom of the page, just write, "Thank you, Lord, for loving me this much to give me all of this and to be with me in it. For you are the Lord of my life, my whole life. And in everything, I will give you thanks. You are my portion. My hope is in you. Help me to wait for you and see what you have done for me. I trust and am thankful for this day, for you are good." The only other scripture I wanted to share with you is Luke 17, 11 to 19. And I'll just read it and briefly say one thing about it. It says this: "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border of Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy came out to meet him. They stood at a distance, they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, have pity on us.' When Jesus saw them, he said, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And so they went. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' And then Jesus said to the man, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Now surely you've heard this story before. But to have leprosy back then was so horrible. You were separated from your family. You had to live quarantined, literally in a dark cave or some isolated hole somewhere away from others. You had to wear rags to mark you, and you had to call out unclean any time you went anywhere. And usually people didn't get better from leprosy. There was no cure, no treatment, just painful sores awaiting a long death. Well, these 10 men must have heard that Jesus was coming and passing by, and so they ran out of their cave to meet him. But they would have kept their distance because they had required to. And so they would have shouted at him and begged Jesus for healing. And Jesus responds to them by telling them to go to the priest. And this was a way of him testing their faith. Because if a person with leprosy thought that they had been cured, they had to first go to the priest to be checked out by them. And if that priest saw that they were well, they could then go back home to their families. So when Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priests," he was essentially telling them, "You're cured." Now, they didn't see that yet, but it was a step of faith. For the scripture says, as they went, they were cured. As they took Jesus at his word, step by step, they began to see sores close and their skin cleansed. By the time they got to the priest, they were all well. Well, the story ends with one of the men returning back to Jesus to give thanks for his healing. And that guy was a Samaritan, which was a person that the Jews didn't even see as one of God's people. He would have been an outsider. And so to put this in a little bit of context for us, it would be like if 10 people were sick or in need, and maybe they're all at Bryan East Hospital, and all 10 are praying for God's help. And God in his grace healed all 10. And maybe 9 of those 10 were church people, grew up in the church and worshiped God and would have called themselves Christians. And maybe 1 of the 10 was not. But in that moment, he too prayed because he had nowhere else to turn and he was scared. So he thought, "Well, I'll give this God thing a try. What do I have to lose?" Well, what this scripture is saying is that God showed up equally in mercy to all of them. He didn't just heal the Jews, but the Samaritan too, who asked him. But the 9 church people, you could say, never bothered to thank God afterwards for what he did for them. But the one person who hadn't believed during their life, had never attended church or read their Bible, but in a moment of desperation had turned to God for healing, when that guy saw that he was healed, he immediately praised God for it. He knew it was God who healed him. And so he went and thanked him and told his friends how he's better because of the Lord. That's what this scripture is saying. Now, not long ago, I needed prayer for something. I felt God asking me to humble myself and ask this other person to pray for me. I'm normally the one who people come to for prayer. But at that moment, I needed the prayer. And so I asked this person if they would pray. Well, only days later, I could see the Lord answering that prayer in great ways greater than I had even hoped for. It was just so clear. And I felt like I had to get on my knees and thank the Lord for what I knew He had just done. And then I even went and told a few different people about it because I felt like I needed to give credit to God and glory to Him. It was just so encouraging to me and so good. But I realized in that moment, for as much as I believe, I can pray a lot, and almost every day probably, I don't tell God thank you for all the stuff He does for me all the time. The ways that He answers prayers or helps me or heals this person in the church after we pray for them or turns this situation around that we're praying for or heals this marriage or leads this person to faith. I can pray and ask God for a lot, but how often do I go back to Jesus and say, thank you, Lord. I see what you're doing here. This was you who did this. And I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for you. And I wouldn't have this situation if it wasn't for you and what you have done. And so let us be that 1 out of 10 who returns to give thanks to the Lord every day for all that He has done. The small prayer requests all the way up to the cross that He has done. Thank the Lord for all He has given you. Let us be a thankful people and living every day in gratitude for all the good things He gives. For the Lord has been so, so good to me and to you. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.